Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, and welcome to Dudes on Hockey. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dude, how are you? It's been a while.
Reunited and it feels so good.
Did you miss us? I'm not asking you.
Oh, okay,
I'm asking good. The listeners. Let's leave a... Did you miss us? Well, we missed you too.
Yes,
thank
we
you
did.
So much. Thank you. We even got a few messages saying, how are you? Are you okay? Even one sort of curt message, not enough content, dude,
yeah.
To slackers.
Pick it up, meet.
We're so sorry that our real lives have interfered with hockey. And usually hockey does take precedence, but unfortunately we had to step off the gas a little bit this week. A lot has happened since we've had our podcast, dude. We have 5 games to talk about, including a little suspension from Mr. Danny Heatley for elbowing the most innocent man in the world.
Yes.
Steve Ott.
A babe in the woods, Steve Ott.
Where should we start, dude? We could rewind all the way back to a game that, you know, I think you're referring to as one of the best hockey games you've been to.
This
Sharks
season, yeah.
Versus Vancouver.
Yeah.
What? And of course, I missed that game.
Right.
Tell us what it was like to be there for that game. It sure seemed like from watching it on replay on television that it had a playoff type atmosphere.
It certainly did. I think both teams were interested in trying to measure themselves against the other. Certainly the Sharks can measure themselves against Vancouver because Vancouver is number one in the West. I think they still have the best record in the NHL. Most likely, barring some terrible late season collapse, they're going to be the number one seed, probably the President's Trophy winner. So this is something
which we know is not necessarily a good thing.
We definitely
ask
know
the Capitals too.
We know that doesn't really mean anything at all. And you know, what can you do? The point is that the Sharks had made some actually kind of bad mistakes in that game, and frankly they came back and they tied it. They gave up some goals fairly late that weren't good at all, and they managed to get a point out of it, losing in the shootout. Certainly looked like they could win the game there for a while, but gave up a late goal, and then they managed to tie it late. So it was very topsy-turvy, very back and forth. A lot of great skill plays happening. I'm sure a lot of people thought it was the best home game of the year. I can't disagree with that. What was your impression on the replay?
Well, I guess as I was watching it, I started to feel a little bit better about our chances in terms of tangoing with Vancouver. I mean, really, you know, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I do believe that as of right now, the two best teams in the West are the Sharks and Vancouver. And I think that the television networks would be thrilled with a Canucks, San Jose Sharks, Western Conference final.
Well,
you know,
they would much rather have Vancouver, Detroit.
Well,
I think,
but I think in
Chicago.
Terms of entertainment value, that could be off the charts. You know, if they're able to deliver that type of 4-4 regulation scoring festival, you almost looked for Wayne Gretzky to be out there the way the game was so open ended, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was.
But I've had a lot of reservations in terms of, you know, can we really match their firepower? And their power play, dude, is just ridiculous. If you take too many penalties against the Canucks, you're going to lose.
Yeah, you're dead, basically. That you can't, even though you see the Sedins out there and you know they're good, it seems to be the last couple of years, you see them sort of in a very difficult position behind the net, in the corner, and then all of a sudden in a flash, one or both of them is in a great position to score. And I distinctly remember one of the power play goals there. It was just like, I think it was the Alex Burrows power play goal, where Burrows is pretty well tied up, I believe, maybe by Danny Heatley. And Danny Heatley is doing nothing but concentrating on Alex Burrows. And then all of a sudden, in a split second, the puck is served right to his stick in between stick checks by Danny Heatley, and Burrows scores.
It's a ridiculously skilled goal.
I mean, with perfect hindsight, you might say, well, maybe Heatley should have engaged him more physically, been, you know, more body to body instead of just trying to take his stick away.
I don't know.
But 99 times out of 100, Alex Burrows has no chance to score on that play.
I thought Heatley played that pretty well.
Yeah.
And it was just an amazing bang bang play. And what are you going to do? You look at the Canucks going down the road. They suffered a significant injury to one of our favorite players, you know, former San Jose Shark Manny Malhotra is out indefinitely after suffering a major injury to his eye on Wednesday against Colorado. He's had some surgery already. He needs long-term treatment. It seems like he's not going to be back this year.
Right.
And, you know, is his career in jeopardy? I don't know. No, they don't seem to be going that far yet, but anything involving your eye.
Right.
Is dangerous business. I mean, ask Brian Berard.
Yes, exactly.
You know, a guy who, you know, seemed to have endless possibilities as a puck moving defenseman, and he his career was certainly cut way shorter than it probably should have been.
By you remember by who?
I'm just gonna guess Steve Ott.
No.
Todd Bertuzzi.
Nope.
It was Brian Marchment.
Nope. Marian Hossa.
Oh.
Yeah. It's Marian Hossa slapshot hit Brian Berard. Brian Berard, I think, was number one overall. He was number two overall.
He was pretty high up there.
So, yeah, he tried to make a comeback at one point. Basically, he could only really get, I think he could only basically get light and dark out of that eye, and he just couldn't make a comeback.
That's got to be extremely, extremely difficult.
So we wish the best for Manny Malhotra, and we wish the worst for the Vancouver Canucks. And
that's a good way to put it, dude.
And the fact is that they're going to be missing one of their best penalty killers, one of their best face-off guys. We certainly know how good of a face-off guy Manny Malhotra is. And now Vancouver has to deal with that. It's sort of a big hole, certainly on a third line and on a penalty-killing situation. But it seems like Vancouver's got plenty of depth. They're not going to be hurting too badly for whatever it is they seem to need. They've been managing to carry on quite well, regardless of what sort of stuff has come their way. Think of how many defensemen they've had hurt this year. So,
the next game was the home match against the New York Rangers, dude.
Did you see Don LaGreca there, dude?
I didn't see Don LaGreca. I was looking for him. I had like a New York slice pizza out. I was kind of dangling it around, figuring that might get Don LaGreca out.
Just sort of waving it in the
air.
Yeah,
just waving it. Just, you know, can you smell it? And I thought maybe he might come out, but I didn't see him. Although I did see him tweet after the game that he ran into some San Jose fans and said that we were all quite pleasant people.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so I guess that's because he's a Ranger fan. No one seems to care. If he was a Wings broadcaster, he probably would not say that right. Very much. But a tough game against a really hungry Rangers team that every point matters for them. So to see them fight as hard as they did to get that tie was not surprising to me. And, you know, I think some people might have been disappointed with the fact that we lost that game in the shootout 3-2. I didn't walk out of the tank that night feeling like that was a really devastating loss. I thought the Sharks held their own against a team that had way more to play for on that road trip. And, you know, Rangers are only 4 points out of, you know, not being in the playoffs, where the Sharks have a lot more wiggle room right now in terms of, you know, they have a 7-point cushion right now. A lot more, 2 points more. Or I guess that's where my math.
3 points.
3 points more.
Nice, dude.
Nice. Thank
you. Math major.
Mm-hmm. Well, what are you going to do? Henrik Lundqvist basically won that game, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He played out of his mind, really out of his mind. Number one star that night, deservedly so. A huge game from Lundqvist, stoned the Sharks. If we played them in a 7-game series, we'd win it in 6. Like, I wouldn't be that worried about it. So, tough loss, but not the end of the world, right?
Right.
What seemed to be the end of the world was
the loss in
Chicago, or we'll call it the 5-goal meltdown in the second period.
Yeah, they scored, what, every other minute or something for a while there. They scored 5 goals in 11 or 12 minutes, something like that.
It was pretty ugly, so I say we just don't speak of it.
Yeah, let's just forget that happened.
Yeah, hey, stuff happens, right, dude?
Yeah.
Stuff happens. Did it make me inspired to face the Blackhawks in the playoffs? Absolutely not.
No.
It didn't really make me feel that much better. Going, this is not a pleasant feeling.
And with Nidamaki coming in and him giving up goals after Niemi was pulled, and It was really not a whole lot to feel good about after a game like that.
No, and they didn't feel good about it. So how do they respond? By elbowing Dallas Stars players in the face, which is, you know, when I'm angry, if I have a bad day, I like to go out and usually hit the first thing that I see.
Right.
So, and sometimes that's you, dude.
It is, it but is. I can usually take it.
You can. You,
yes.
You can. Good elbow to the face.
I take it like a man.
So the Dallas game, dude,
yeah.
Really at the forefront of this game is the suspension to Danny Heatley, but it seemed to kind of get kicked off on a boarding play on
right.
Nick Vallin.
Right.
And Vallin is out still,
mm-hmm.
you know, did not play against Minnesota. Not sure if he's playing tonight against St. Louis, assuming he's not. That seemed to kind of set the tone and kick off maybe a little bit of men behaving badly.
Yes, I think so. Is it possible this ill will, this violent ill will that once used to be really pointed towards the Anaheim Ducks is now pointed towards the Dallas Stars? I can't say I've ever felt a real severe rivalry with Dallas. Certainly, you remember the 4 overtime game in the playoffs a few years back and all that kind of stuff.
When Turco was there, you know,
yeah.
and really playing a lot, I think that there was some hatred
yeah.
for that team.
But it's kicked up a notch again because mm-hmm. of this game, don't you think?
Yeah. Oh, definitely. I think out of the Pacific Division teams, you know, this is right now the team that maybe we fear the most and also that we have the most intense feeling against, right?
Right.
If Dallas and San Jose end up being a first round playoff matchup, which if the season ended today, right now, that's what it would be.
Wow.
That would be quite an electric
yes.
series, probably going 7 games either way. And that wouldn't make me feel very good about either team's long-term Stanley Cup chances. I think that they would just wear each other out.
I think you're right.
That'd be good news for Detroit, for Vancouver. They would be thrilled if San Jose met up with Dallas. I think any team that meets Dallas in the playoffs is going to be in for a long series.
Yes.
You know,
a long ride. They don't, you know, as we've talked about quite a few times this season, Dallas, at least on paper, doesn't seem to have the high level of talent that other teams seem to have, but they managed to jump out to a pretty early Pacific Division lead, kept it for most of the season. They're still winning games despite, is Brad Richards even back yet?
Yeah, he played.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he played. The nice thing that I liked about the Dallas game was they folded. You know, Dallas crumbled. They had us in the corner,
mm-hmm.
and they were up 2-0, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the Sharks just stormed back. And did we get 2 empty netters, I think?
Two empty netters.
I mean, so it looks a lot worse than it really was. But
right. It was really a one-goal game.
Yeah, well, but we came back and scored several unanswered goals against
right.
them. And
they were up 2-0.
Mark Crawford was, you know, pitching a little spiky baby-haired fit over on the bench. And everybody was all upset and good. And there you go. And take that elbow in the face twice, Steve
right.
Ott. You turd on skates, yeah. you know? Whatever. Dude, let's break down the hits. Just basically the Murray on Erickson's hit. Louis Erickson's still out as of right now from
yeah.
that hit. Did not get a suspension.
Yeah.
Do you think that's the right call?
That's a little...
Isn't that basically the same thing that happened with Joe Thornton and David Perron? Basically,
yeah, I didn't look
it's
at
a
him.
Hockey play, right?
I didn't look at him side by side,
right? But I mean, not maybe in terms of the exact like positioning of the hit, but you know, there are some hits that are hockey plays, and there
mm-hmm.
are some hits that are malicious. Like, did you see the one? I think it was Puck Daddy posted the I think it was a junior league game where
mm-hmm.
a guy skated literally at full speed from across the ice at the end of the game and boarded a guy. Like, it looked like he was going to put him. It was like the coyote running into the wall
oh
in a
God.
Bugs Bunny. I mean, I thought it looked like the guy would have been dead. I mean, like
yeah.
he and it erupted into this huge fight.
Of course,
and
you
then,
think?
And then the coaches started fighting,
well,
like,
yeah.
you know, crawling over the bench. And
nice.
Oh, it was, if you haven't seen that, you go on Puck Daddy and look it up. It was a pretty crazy scene. But you just see this guy. It was like he had, you know, rockets on his skates. And he just flew into the corner and just smashed this guy. He got up.
Wow.
Incredible. I mean, really, you look at the severity of some of these hits. I mean, that one you would think would be the worst.
Well, that's I didn't see that hit, but you know, that's why that distance between the player and the boards is so important. If you're right up against the boards, the guy can pace you really hard, and a lot of times it doesn't result in a ton of injury. But if you're going down as you fall into the boards, that's why those boarding calls are so important. Which sort of brings us to the Nick Vallien hit, right? I mean, It's a dangerous play, right? Yeah. That's why they call that boarding.
Right.
That's why they call a penalty for that kind of thing. And
right.
And now we're seeing what the aftermath is, which is Vallien still not playing. Although the fact that Justin Braun's playing well and the Sharks don't really need him back.
It's okay. I mean, right. In terms of how the team is functioning, it's okay. But, you know, not jumping ahead to the Minnesota game, but, mm-hmm. Well, I guess I will. You know, watching Dan Boyle basically do the splits.
Yeah.
And
not in a good way.
Yeah. I thought his groin had been left about 20 yards behind where he landed.
Yeah.
That was another game. I wasn't there, but watching it on TV afterwards, I mean, I almost threw up when I saw that. And I hadn't been, you know, no, I'd read any updates or anything, so I didn't know what had happened with. And I felt really concerned because at first I was like, oh, you know, he's broken both his legs.
Yeah.
And he's laying there. He's pounding his fist on the ice.
Yeah, that didn't look good.
And then I said, yeah, you know what? If Dan Boyle had like broken his legs or something, I think you would have called me to soften the blow.
Right.
Instead of me having an emotional breakdown at 1 a.m. alone with my cat. So, anyways, dude, that was frightening.
It looked like he was auditioning for Chorus Line there for a second.
It was. And
then he was upset because he didn't get the part.
I hope I get it.
Anyways, dude. Okay.
Dude.
Are we going to do this song?
No.
Okay. Just making sure.
What are you doing?
We didn't practice that before like we usually do.
Going back to Dallas. The
right.
Heatley elbow on Steve Ott. Thoughts?
I appreciate the sentiment, but of course it's a suspension, right? I mean, where the league is today, you can't not suspend something like that. I guess 2 games, okay, you know. We've talked about the crazy wheel of justice, the NHL. I'm not going to go into that again. I understand it. I mean, that's what you get if you do something like that. You elbow a guy in the head, you're going to get some suspension time. That's how it works.
I don't want to... I may come off poorly here with this dude, but I
wouldn't be the first time.
I really didn't mind it that much, I have to say. And you know, if he gets suspended for 2 games for, you know, the Sharks have a long-term history of being bullied, you mm-hmm. know, and we've seen the Ducks do it to the Sharks for several years when they had Pronger and Niedermeyer and Mullen and those guys.
Mm-hmm.
They would just kind of toy with the Sharks and then they dispatched of them very easily in the first round. They just weren't able to take it. And so if Dallas is going to kind of try that kind of tactic with this basically same core guys,
mm-hmm.
if you're going to put an elbow in Steve Ott's face to say, listen, you know, if you want to get in my face, I will take a 2-game suspension, but I will elbow you in the face.
Right.
Okay. You know, I mean, in the playoffs, can't do that.
Right.
But right now, if Danny Heatley wants to take a quick vacation in order to send a little message to Steve Ott, I don't know. Maybe some people will disagree with me, but I didn't mind it to say, look, this is not going to be the same ending for this Sharks team this year.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to take it all the way. At least I'm sure that's how they feel. And if you want to be a pest, you shoo, fly, get away from me.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So that's kind of how I feel about it, dude.
Right. Well, I think I agree with most of that sentiment, dude. I mean, Steve Ott, it's hard to get upset about a hit to Steve Ott after all.
And he's at the end of the game talking like he's the most innocent. I was expecting, you know, him to put on an ice skating dress and do a Nancy Kerrigan impression, you know, like sitting there holding his knee. Why me? Why? What? You know, this kind of stuff is unacceptable. Yeah. I seem to recall you actually putting your thumbs in someone's eye and trying to pull it out. You turn like, how can you even say that? Like, how can people even take him seriously? Him saying that kind of play is unacceptable in hockey. Oh, don't get any closer. I'm going to put my thumb in your eye. I mean, geez, how many times has that guy been suspended?
Several. Yes.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Shut your face.
Right. He doesn't really have a good standing. No. He doesn't have much of a...
It's ridiculous.
...of a soapbox to stand on there.
So
Minnesota, you know, another, you know, sort of scrappy team we've seen. You know, that's probably been one of the bigger surprises in the West this year is how good Minnesota's been. We thought Minnesota might be pretty bad. I think a big key to their success has been Marty Havlat, the fact that he's been healthy. And of course, Nicklas Backstrom always seems to keep him in every game. He had several dazzling saves in the game as well. The Sharks posted 50 shots, which definitely seems to indicate, you know, this is not the Minnesota team of old. And the Sharks managed to skate away with the win. So they never trailed, you know, two ties. Well, three ties if you count the 0-0 at the beginning. But I was really happy with the Sharks' output there. I thought, you know, Minnesota is one of those teams that you fall asleep just for a little while and they'll, at this point, they'll jump on you. And,
right.
You know, that kind of happened a little bit, especially with that shorty that they scored, which was, you know, really bummer. And frankly, their second goal was a beaut. It really was. It was a nice little saucer pass,
yeah.
You know, to an area right in front of the goal, picked up and scored. I mean, that was a, you know, for hockey fans, you got to be pretty appreciative of the way that went down. You know, the Sharks fought back again and Marlowe put them ahead. And, you know, even without Danny Heatley, they found the scoring they need. And you know, what can you say? There's nothing bad to be said about that game. They managed to turn around, you know, try to put the Chicago game that much further behind them after that. So
it was a good effort against a team that I think that was sort of their last stand. I mean, mm-hmm. Minnesota coming into San Jose had lost three in a row, four out of five, a terrible road trip, getting blanked twice in Nashville and Dallas, losing in Vancouver 4-2. They are near the end of a playoff run here. They're 5 points out. Mm-hmm. With, you know, Calgary playing well, I think they have to hope that Calgary is going to lose all three of these games in California and that Nashville continues to be boring and mediocre and that
right.
The Ducks continue to trade win-loss, and maybe they might be able to climb back in there. But I think Minnesota, having lost now five in a row, they're basically on the outside looking in, dude, and we may have put the nail in their coffin on Thursday night with the win in San Jose.
Yep. I think you're right, dude. Let's see.
Tonight's
game. St. Louis. So St. Louis is pretty well out as well. They have you know, five fewer points than even Minnesota does.
They had a big win in LA, though, against LA.
How could you have a big win when you're this far out of the playoffs?
Well, it's a big win in terms of spoiling for LA. You know, mm-hmm. I think LA had circled on their calendar easy win against St. Louis, and they went in there and they beat them. And I think the Sharks have to be aware of that, you know, St. Louis right now maybe is playing a little bit looser mm-hmm. because they are, for all intents and purposes, out of it.
Right.
And they have talent on that team.
Yes, they do.
They do. I still like the core of that team. I like it even better with the trade they made.
Yeah. I mean, Chris Stewart's been on fire.
They just haven't been able to put it together. But I still consider them to be extremely dangerous. Dude, I was at the tank today, actually, because my wife was sang the anthem for the Sharks Fantasy camp today.
One of these years I'm going to do that.
Dude, you've got to do it. Actually, I was watching.
Did you watch the actual like scrimmage?
No,
game?
No. I left before the scrimmage started. But
so she sang the anthem before what exactly?
Before the okay. I'm two parts to this story. I'll tell you the first part. The first part is they actually told us the wrong time, so we're there about an hour and a half early instead of being a half hour early, which is when she's supposed to be there. And so we show up and the Blues are taking their pregame skate. And this time she was usually sings out of the penalty box. They had her standing over by the Shark's Head for the fantasy camp. So we were walked downstairs and now I'm downstairs in the tunnel, basically where the Sharks come out. We're walking by the dressing room and all that. And I'm walking by Trent Yanni as he's doing like his pregame presser. And I walk right past Ruzanowski and Randy Hahn just sort of talking in the hallway. And
right.
I'm like, okay, you know, I feel like I...
You didn't even say hi.
I know. I should have had cards. Dude's on hockey. Hey, guys. How are you? Randy?
Hey, how you doing? You know, give him the pointers, you know, like the guns. Hey.
So we end up sitting right on the glass, basically, and I turn around and probably sitting a couple rows behind me is Jay Woodcroft with another guy, and they're just kind of casually dressed, you know, sitting there in like sweats you know, just watching chilling. The Blues morning skate. And like, and he comes down and actually, like, as he's leaving, he like stopped for no reason and just sort of had like a casual conversation with us. It was actually really nice. He could have just walked right by. He stopped to say, "Hey, how are you? You singing, you know,
right.
you guys, you know, maybe, maybe you get a better view if you move a couple rows up." He didn't know if we knew right. what we were doing or what, you
right,
know?
Right, right.
Just nice, you know, nice guy. And then I gave him a few notes that I had.
Good. I'm glad you did.
So nice.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? Hey, by the way.
F2 needs to release a little quicker on that breakout
as
pattern.
As an amateur podcaster, I would love to tell you that I find that when I sing musicals before a game, that it really has a great influence on the Sharks.
Might I suggest Bat Boy?
So we watched the pregame skate, and the Blues were playing, and none of their regular guys were out there. It was like Cam Jansen and right. like Ian Cole and Dave Scatchard and like a bunch of guys, young guys, mm-hmm. and then a couple of fourth liner guys. Probably a dozen guys, and they were playing this game that must have had some sort of stakes to it. Like, it was one of the assistant coaches has back to the goalie, and the goalie's in the net, and then he would just drop the puck either on the right or left side, and you had to score. And if you didn't score, then the guy on the other side had to try and get the rebound and score. Mm-hmm. And they were in two teams, and it was really competitive. And Cam Jansen was like, he was slamming his stick on the ice. He was dropping loud F-bombs like in the tank, like yelling at the assistant coach that his scorekeeping was unfair. Like,
wow.
He got like in like a F-word laden, like face-to-face confrontation with Dave Scatchard. I mean, like, it wasn't like they were going to punch each other, but like there was something like dinner or something on the line here that like they were like playing for something for real.
Right.
You know? And I don't know. I got a kick out of that. I'd never seen a pregame skate, you know, or really anything other than them kind of casually skating around. I mean, this was them sort of goofing off, no one watching mm-hmm. except for us.
Right.
You know, we were the only ones sitting in there besides Jay Woodcroft. So, you know.
I've seen something like that before at a Sharks practice where they're doing a little exercise and they're supposed to be doing something. It actually sounded fairly similar to what you just described. And when guys, even in practice, when guys aren't successful at what they're trying to do, they're not happy.
Yeah.
I mean, even though they're not playing in front of 17,000 people, even though they're at a practice rink, it was clear. It wasn't just like, oh, well, this is practice. Tomorrow's another day. It was no, beep, beep, beep. Lots of stuff happening.
Yeah, he was pretty angry. So, of course, I shouted, hey, calm down. You really don't play that much.
Right.
I shouted that down. Yeah.
Make sure you're ready for those 3 minutes.
Hey, save that intensity for those 3 minutes tonight.
Oh, man. Then he'll pull like a, he'll like come to the stands after you.
So the fantasy camp, actually, they set it up. They let their families in. They sit, you know, down by the ice. These guys are in like full uniform.
Yeah.
They skate out of the Shark's Head with like, they play the video beforehand.
Right.
The lights are out, you know, Sharky's out there. They do the whole video introduction. They line them up. They all get introduced individually. And they each have former Sharks on their team.
Yeah,
so like
yeah.
One team had Murray Craven, had Al Iafredi.
Whoa.
Which was awesome. The Planet was out there.
Wow.
And they had Jay Moore.
Oh, cool.
And the other team had Brett Hedekin.
Yeah.
And had Steve Shields not playing goalie, but like in like a regular uniform.
You know what? He was probably awesome too.
Probably, I'm sure. You know, and then one team was coached by Jamie Baker, and the other team was coached by Darren Pang, who must be doing, maybe he's a broadcaster for the Blues.
He is a broadcaster.
So that's probably why
he was dropped by Phoenix, and he got picked up by the Blues.
So anyways, that's probably why he was there. But these guys, I mean, they were like all, it was intense, but it was funny to see like the different like,
oh yeah,
body types out there. Like there was some really fat guys like on skates, like bursting out of their uniforms. It was, you know,
I play against several Sharks.
It was hilarious, you know, and you know, with like the numbers that were like, it looked like a freeway off ramp.
Yeah.
Just kind of skating around out there. But it seemed like a cool setup, dude. So I've been encouraging you to do this. You got to do it.
Okay. This is the poll question for the week, because you know, I'm of two minds about it. I gotta be honest. One, it's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not going to go into how much it is, but it's a lot. Okay. It's a whole lot.
Yeah.
And the second question is, if I somehow create some sort of company, does that mean I can like write it off as like a dude's on hockey expense? Maybe I can like write it off as a podcast expense somehow on my taxes. But yeah, so is it really worth it for me to do it? I mean, isn't it sort of just like excessive? It's just like, I'm just sort of throwing money away. It's like, I get a Sharks jersey with my name on it.
And no, you get a jersey with a number, and then it says "dude" on the back.
Ooh, if I can get "dude" on the back, that'd be cool. I don't want like my name on the back because I would never wear it. You can't wear a jersey with your name on it to a Sharks game.
Yeah.
That's weak.
Oh, I mean, some people had like players' names on the back. Some people had like their own names. Some funny things like "old guy." One guy had like "old guy" on the back.
Oh, really?
Jersey.
So I gotta get "dude" on. If I can do that, then I should get "dude" on the back.
Yeah, you get "dude" on the back. And they were kind of explaining to us before, like what they show up. They get access to the players' lounge. They get like sports massages. They get lunch. They get coaching. It seemed like, dude, I think you should do it. We should make it the poll question. And then if you do it, then we all show up. The dudes on hockey.
Oh my God. Can you imagine how embarrassing that would be for me?
Dudes on hockey fans to show up and we will taunt you from the stands and I will lead the charge.
Can you imagine, like, I'll be playing with, like, Brett Hedekin, and he just does, like, a simple D-to-D pass, and I just, like, catch a rut and, like, fall on my ass and, like, slide to the
boards.
No, that's
what we would be hoping for.
Yeah, I've done that before.
We would be rooting for it.
It would be really funny.
So, anyways, that's my story. I don't know if it was too long or not.
No, not at all, dude.
I thought it was pretty interesting.
We got plenty of tape.
Dude, it's like a double episode because we haven't been around for a while. Speaking of playoffs.
Playoffs.
We have some Sharks prospects that are heavily involved in the NCAA conference tournaments.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you think it's March Madness just for hoops. It's actually also time for the Frozen Four.
Nice.
Not quite yet. And some conference tournaments and some Sharks are on some college teams that are going to qualify. And then also the junior leagues in the in Canadian Hockey League will be ending next week. And we'll have the Ontario Hockey League, the Western Hockey League, and the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League starting their playoffs. We got a lot of prospects on some pretty darn good teams out there in those junior ranks, dude. So I'm going to throw some things out here to you.
Sweet, dude.
Northeastern University actually had a much bigger run than we probably would have expected. They ended up losing to Boston College in the semis of the East Coast Hockey League or the Hockey East.
Hockey East, yeah.
Conference tournament, but they knocked out Charlie Coyle and Boston University.
Mm.
So, which they were probably the favorite or, you know, between them and Boston College. And so you've got Boston University now with Charlie Coyle without the automatic NCAA bid. You know, they're hoping for an at-large bid.
Right.
I think that there's a good shot they're going to get one, and that'd be a team probably people would want to face. But the good news about Charlie Coyle is he was voted Hockey East Rookie of the Year.
Wow. Nice.
26 points in 37 games. Really effective in league play. Charlie Coyle hopped to the top of the Hockey Futures Sharks prospect list, dude. So I do seem to remember picking Charlie Coyle as the Sharks top.
I believe
prospect.
You did, dude. I think you had that one.
That's right. We don't really have any other college players who it looks like are going to be involved in any sort of NCAA action if that changes. You know, we've got some guys at Ohio State, Michigan, Minnesota. It looks like those teams are not going to make the playoffs. So as these teams are losing, though, we can kind of keep an eye out because that's when undrafted college players can start to sign.
That's right.
As free agents. You know, you see guys like Mac Gilroy sign.
Right. He's the big one.
You know,
a couple million dollars. He was undrafted. And then after a great NCAA tournament run, he suddenly had 20 NHL teams wanting to sign him, and the Rangers got him for a couple million dollars.
Gosh, if I'm remembering right, dude, I think that's how we got Justin Braun, or was Justin Braun a draft pick?
Oh, I'd have to look it
up. I'm going
to
look it up.
I want to say like guys like James Marcoux and who was the other one?
Nick Shaw.
Cam McIntyre.
Yeah, McIntyre was signed that way as well.
Yeah.
Okay, I've got Justin Braun's profile. He was drafted in the seventh round in 2007. Okay, so now let's jump to the Ontario Hockey League. The number one seed in the East is the Mississauga St. Michael's Majors.
Yep.
Am I right?
Mississauga.
And J.P. Anderson, who's a goalie who we saw, right?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't he come up in
rookie camp? We saw him.
He was in rookie camp, and he is the number one goalie in the OHL.
Wow.
He leads the OHL in goals allowed, most wins, and shutouts.
What about, but not save percentage?
Not save percentage. He's 38-10-1, 2.36 goals allowed, and 9-11 save percentage on the best team in the East.
Hmm.
So that's a team that I think we got to keep our eye on, you know, as we're looking towards the Memorial Cup, right? Which is where the winners from each of the major juniors, am I right?
That's right.
They play each other, and then there's also the host team, which I can't remember who's hosting.
Yeah, it's kind of a convoluted system. I'm not quite, I don't have a great grasp on it as of yet, but yes, that's basically the gist of it.
Freddie Hamilton, which is a draft pick from this last year, is on the Niagara Ice Dogs. They're going to make the playoffs, third seed in the East of the OHL. He finished third in the most underrated player in the Ontario Hockey Leagues, and he's having 80 points in 67 games.
Hey now.
Plus 24.
Hoo-ah.
Huge year, and there's some other Sharks prospects that are having big years too, like Erie Otters player Phil Verone, or Verone. We're not sure which it is.
We saw him. We saw him in rookie camp as well.
82 points and plus 21. You know, so
that's pretty good.
Yeah,
I think he played with. Did he play with Tavares? Because I think that was his
play.
Big thing.
He played. He was a player for London,
right?
And then they traded him to Erie, and he's become one of their marquee players. I mean, and he's got. It's balanced. 34 goals, 48 assists.
That's
so this guy.
That's a nice stat line.
Premier, and the same thing with Hamilton. 36 goals, 44 assists.
Wow.
So you're looking at some of these Sharks junior players are really producing on an offensive level. These forwards. Kingston Frontenac's player, Taylor Doherty, defenseman, the 6'8 guy.
He's a beast.
He's a beast. He's playing more control over his body this year. He's not in the 100 penalty minutes. He's at 83. He's got 53 points. He's a minus 16, which isn't
great.
As
a defenseman?
But 53 points as a defenseman.
That's pretty, how
many
games?
Impressive. And he's their captain. Yeah, you know, 60-something games.
Yeah. That's a pretty amazing scoring clip.
That's
really
a guy to keep an eye on. Plymouth Whalers player James Livingston, which is a new player that we just signed recently.
Right, right.
Is a power forward. He's got 50 points on that team. And then Michael Scarbosa, who is another player that we signed, undrafted. He plays for Sudbury. We signed him, I believe, out of rookie camp.
Okay.
He's one of those guys. 77 points, 99 penalty minutes.
Wow.
Leading scorer for Sudbury. So
Sudbury Wolves,
yeah,
is it?
Yeah, nice dude.
Thanks.
So we've got some good players on who are Sharks property.
What about William Wren?
William Wren is in the Western Hockey League, dude.
No.
And he is playing for the first seeded Portland Winterhawks. It's a plus 25 in 28 games with 13 points. The
unreal.
Portland Winterhawks are a very, very good team. And on the other side of the bracket is going to be the Saskatoon Blades, which is probably the best team, maybe the best team in junior hockey. And you've got Marek Videnski, 35 goals, 51 assists, 86 points. And get wait for this dude. A plus 59.
What?
Plus 59. Okay.
That's unreal.
Yeah. So Marek Videnski has already signed a contract with the Sharks.
Yeah, yeah.
So this kid's got size. He's got world junior experience. He's achieved basically with 86 points. I mean, close to being a 100-point player on the junior level. Marek Videnski, he could be playing in San Jose soon.
Right.
Real
soon. Let's keep in mind there's plenty of players that have scored 100 points plus that never make it in the NHL.
Sure, sure. But if you're looking for good signs, I mean, as far as this kid is growth and just general pedigree right now, it's looking good. Local kid, we just signed him, Senna Akolast.
Akolatsa?
I'm not
something
sure.
Like that.
A-C-O-L-A-S-T-E.
Yeah.
He is from Hayward.
Right.
And he plays for Prince George.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to make the playoffs. 59 points in 65 games, 130 penalty minutes. He's the fourth highest scoring defenseman in the Western Hockey League.
Hmm.
So not a bad pickup, just kind of laying around.
Not at all.
As a free agent. A couple other guys on some teams. The Chilliwack Bruins have Kurt Gogol, a Sharks draft pick. He has 201 penalty minutes, third in the Western Hockey League, so maybe a kind of a guy to keep your one eye open on.
Right.
And the Moose Jaw Warriors are going to make the playoffs with Thomas Heemskerk as their goalie, 36-21-2, 294 goals allowed, and a 908 save percentage. Not great numbers, but good enough to get that team in the playoffs. So that's the general overview
right.
of our Sharks players in junior hockey playoffs. You've got out of the four number one seeds, each three of them have Sharks players, dude.
Yeah, that's good news. That's good for us.
So I'm certainly hoping that we'll be able to keep an eye on some of these guys in the next few weeks and give you an update as their teams continue to progress. We'll let you know how those players are doing. And, you know, as they start to lose, if they're under contract, we might see some of them kind of migrate over to Worcester.
Right.
If they make the playoffs, especially as we kind of pluck their roster for our Black Aces as the playoff comes around. That's something we'll keep you updated on as well, dude.
Sounds good, dude. And in other news, dude, our Tottenham Hotspur football team has made the UEFA League quarters. Is that right?
Against, that's right.
Against Real Madrid?
Yes.
I'm pretty sure it's Real Madrid.
I believe so.
And I think in the next 2 or 3 weeks, there's going to be, I guess they do a home and home, basically, with Real Madrid. So we will be watching that game. I hope all of you have jumped on the bandwagon with us since the beginning of this.
It's turned out pretty well.
Yeah, it's fun. I like watching those games.
Dude, before we get out of here, I think it's time to give a little fantasy league update.
Okay.
All right?
How are we doing?
We are doing pretty good.
Uh-oh.
All right. In the three dudes leagues, we are in eighth place in one of them. So we're in danger, dude, of not making the playoffs in Dudes on Hockey League 1. In Dudes 2, we're in second place.
Okay.
Very comfortably in the playoffs. And in Dudes 3, Hamburgers Helpers, we are in fifth place. So we'll make the playoffs.
We've dropped a little bit because we were like in the top three or four at one point.
Yeah, we made a trade that we were championing as being outstanding. And ever since we made that trade, we've gone in the toilet.
Yeah.
I don't think that really has anything to do with it, but.
Sure, dude.
So we're going to make the playoffs, it looks like, in all the leagues, which is a strong accomplishment. We're in four fantasy leagues. We're going to make the playoffs in all those leagues.
Yeah.
And Niemi's bandwagon, if we play you in the first round, we're going to bring 60 minutes of hell. That's what we're going to bring. We're going to throw everything we have at you. So
bring the pain.
You know, it will be my pleasure actually to win the Dudes on Hockey League as the 8 seed.
Yeah.
How disturbing would that be for the listeners?
It'd be awesome.
It'd be fantastic. To overcome the losses of Malkin.
Yes.
And the wretched play for most of the year of Kovalchuk in that league. And to have basically no goaltending. Our goaltending in that team is... Now I've picked up both Dan Ellis and Ray Emery.
Oh, my God, dude.
And we have Michael Neuwirth.
Okay.
So...
I remember when we picked him up.
Yeah. we're limping across the finish line, dude.
Yeah, we are a little bit. Oh, well. It happens to the best of us.
Yeah.
Well, dude, I'm glad we could get together here on this Saturday and still do a podcast. I think hopefully that means we're going to be back to our regularly scheduled programming, which means you're going to get two podcasts in the span of only a few days. But that's what we have to do to get back on track.
That's
right. We got to get ready for the playoff push here, dude. And despite the fact that we're working a lot, you and I both, it means that there's still hockey games going on. We're still watching the games, of course. We're going to St. Louis tonight. And we're ready for the push. I'm getting excited about playoffs. I love this time of year.
Absolutely. And, you know, a big game tonight, a game that could be a very dangerous one for the Sharks. If they overlook St. Louis, I think they're making a big mistake. I wouldn't be surprised if this game went to overtime, you know, and they're going to give us more than we can handle. And then I'm really looking forward to the Calgary game. I think that's going to be either we're going to be catching a Flames team that's coming in with some points out of LA or a team that has gotten nothing. And they're going to be so desperate that they're going to leave everything they have on the ice.
Yep. Yep. I agree. Good call, dude. And we will be back again next week, same time, same place.
I'm picking up Ty Conklin. We'll do it live.
Do it.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.